Hi, this is Greg Shea.
I'm Robert Gunther.
And we're in our second podcast based on our book, Your Job Survival Guide, A Manual for Thriving and Change. In this podcast, we want to provide a brief overview of the book. And as background to the overview, the book is based upon a metaphor of the world as being like dealing with permanent whitewater, and that in particular inside of that world, we need to take both the skills, the metaphor, the mindset that goes with being a kayaker. And Rob's going to lead us through some of the key points that we attempt to make in applying that metaphor.
Thanks, Greg. And in our first podcast, we talked about how most of us grew up with this mindset of being a sailor on an ocean liner, and now we need to shift to being a kayaker, a paddler on a whitewater river. And so what is the shift in mindset, and what are these new skills? And in this podcast, we wanted to just briefly go through all of them, and then come back in some of the last two podcasts to talk about the specifics of a few of them. So first of all, kayakers understand that the environment is not going to provide a sane pace for you. It's crazy. It's chaotic. It rushes downstream. You have to find a way to pace yourself. Pace yourself to preserve your sanity. And so if the action doesn't stop, most people look at it and they say, this world runs 24-7, 25-8 maybe. And the email doesn't stop, the BlackBerry doesn't stop, nothing stops. And there's a new technological breakthrough on the TV every day. And so how can you possibly slow things down? Well, you can't slow things down. But what kayakers know is that you can move through the environment in a way that controls your pace through this chaotic environment without stopping the environment. So that's the first point, and we'll get into a little bit more on that on our next podcast.
Perhaps the fatal flaw that one can take to, or fatal approach one can take to this world is to think about it, if we mix metaphors a bit, as a sprint. There is no reason to believe that the world we're in is a sprint. A marathon is a very difficult, perhaps the most difficult race. And yet people who treat it like a sprint, it's not a question of whether they thrive, whether they win. They don't even finish the race.
The second point is that in a whitewater environment, you cannot get through the environment without failing. I mean, it's inherent that you're going to get flipped over if you're paddling down a whitewater river. So the idea that you can go through your career and go from success to success to success is unrealistic in this environment. And so how do you have to change your mindset in that way? Well, you need to start thinking about how do I prepare to fail gracefully and recover quickly? And on a whitewater river, what this means is that you learn to Eskimo roll. Kayakers don't even say that they've capsized if they flip over their boat. Most normal people would, but kayakers say, okay, it's not a capsize unless you get out of your boat. Flipping over your boat is all in a day's work. And so if you take this back to the organization, if you're in your job, try new things, experiment, make mistakes, and realize that that's part of the journey, and that that's going to give you the skills and the learning and the experience that will make other people want to hire you when maybe your current river runs out of steam or you hit a waterfall. And so that's what's important, is to learn to experiment, prepare to fail gracefully, and recover quickly. And then the next point is that play is an important part of this. We think that this whitewater has to be work, 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 nose to the grindstone, but paddlers know you paddle hard and you play hard. The environments that are the most chaotic, that have the most high-volume water, have the greatest opportunities for play spots, if you can recognize them. And Greg has found this in his own work with organizations, when he'll ask people about the level of change and all the hands go up that their environment has become more chaotic and more changing. And then he asks them how many of them are enjoying their job more. And a lot of the hands go up as well, because they recognize that this can be, with the right attitude, an environment where there's many more opportunities to play. And optimism is really important in meeting this environment.
And we draw in the book on the work of Beck and the work of Seligman. So we know that optimism, resilience, there are techniques that help us to become more optimistic, to become more resilient, and we make reference and draw on those in the book as examples in our lives of what Rob has just referenced in terms of what kayakers know from their life on the river.
The next point is that you're responsible for your own security. As I mentioned in the first podcast, on the ocean liner, you think everyone does their job, the ocean liner will keep you safe. Well, not when, you know, it crashes into an iceberg, and not when you're thrown into a whitewater river. So the idea is that when you're in whitewater, you have to have your own personal flotation device. You have to have your own skills at rescuing yourself. And what this means in a work environment is that you need to be able to have a portfolio of skills and develop a portfolio of skills and develop a network that extends beyond your current job and your current organization, so that when you're thrown into the water, as you inevitably will be, you can keep your head above water, float down, collect your gear, get back in your boat, and start paddling again. And so the idea that security comes from an organization, it's people know it doesn't exist anymore, but they haven't thought about, to a certain degree, about how they need to kind of rethink how they live their lives and build their careers in order to build their own security. The next point is you have to scout the river and set your own course. In the old ocean liner, you had a captain up in the map room, up in the top of the organization, and he was kind of, he was looking at the map and figuring out where you were going to go and setting the course. And then he told everybody else in the organization, this is where we're going, and everybody just followed. It's a different environment now. On a whitewater river, you have to learn to read the river on your own. You have to know when you're coming to a waterfall, when you're coming to something that will burn you out, and you need to get out of the river and walk around that, portage around, or come to some new river. And so the ability to read the river, so the housing market is going into the toilet. Well, what does that mean for your job in this specific organization? Where is that? What's going to happen next? The economy is going into a downturn. What's that mean for you? And so you have to kind of read both the big picture and also your local environment, figure out what's going to happen next. And so that ability to read and react to the environment is crucial for survival, because no one can tell you what's going to happen in your specific little part of the world. You can't take some general recipe. You have to be able to read and understand where the environment is going.
One of the points that we make and develop in the course of this particular topic is that those calls to portage can be, as Rob just made reference, due to the state of the organization or the industry that you're in, but they also can be due to your own journey, where you are in your own life, as well as your developed sense of if you yourself are in danger, perhaps your health, your stress, and either the business case or the personal case can lead you to portage to get off the river, and we provide some reasonably specific guidance about how to tell if you're in trouble on the personal front as we do on how one might think about the business front.
Right, Greg. And then just quickly, the last three points here that we make in the book, and you know, if you want more on this, you'll have to buy the book. Sorry. The next point is communicate through symbols, actions, and myths. On the river, the turbulence and the chaos of permanent whitewater just shreds meaning and communication. On the river, the only way you can communicate is holding your paddle over your head and blowing whistles, and because there's just too much noise around. And it's the same in organizations; people don't have a common language. And so you need to use symbols to communicate. You need to harness the power of actions and myth. And Greg uses tells the story of a new executive who comes in the office, and one CEO comes in and says, "We want open communication." The other one comes in and rips the door and the walls off of the office. Now, which one has your attention? And so in this environment, it's very important to make to use symbols and make very clear statements. The next point is the importance of teaming for today's run. The teams that are in permanent whitewater are ad hoc teams. There isn't this hierarchy. Everyone has a place and everyone does their job. So paddlers know that you have to have skills not just at doing your job, but at forming teams and at pulling teams together and at identifying the right people and putting them together for a specific trip and then disbanding them and then pulling them together for the next one. And then the final point is about leadership. And that's the leadership in permanent whitewater is much more through trust and personal power. In the ocean liner, you know, the captain is in charge because he's at the top of the ship. And the guy in the engine room listens to the chain of command. In whitewater, it's much more fluid. And people who are followers, who are second in command, can end up having to step forward into leadership positions. And so there's a whole different approach to leadership. But your power as a leader is not due to your position in the organizational chart as much as it is due to the trust and the personal power that you're able to establish among the people who are traveling with you.
So hopefully in these few minutes we've given you a sense of the fact that the metaphor that we use of the permanent whitewater and the metaphor that we use of the kayaker are not simply word games. They have implications, and the book takes these implications still further, and we'll take in our next two podcasts two particular points, namely one about how we think about our own pacing and one about how we think about our own security, further, elaborate them further. Thank you.